Hello and welcome to the GameXT Weekly Wrap, where we go over this week's news from Alaska's Emerald Isle. I'm your host, Davis Hovey. On this week's recap, the City of Kodiak City Manager is leaving the position at the end of this month after only being on the job for 7 weeks.
Sometimes you win, sometimes you don't, as much as you'd like. I'll leave it at that and say I think we've got a good way forward with possibilities for the future in terms of this position.
More about that story later, but first...
Support for KMXT comes from the Kodiak Area Native Association's Substance Use Treatment Team. Talk with your kids about drugs and tobacco. No matter how young children are, talking with them is one of the best things you can do to keep them drug and tobacco free. Learn more at KodiakHealthcare.org or 907-486-7380.
Dr. Malia Villegas received the Warrior of Light Award during the annual Alaska Federation of Natives Convention in Anchorage on October 17th. The Native Village of Afognak Tribal Council member was recognized for her work to uplift and unify Alaska Native people. KMXT has the story. Malia Villegas has family ties to Kodiak and Afognak Island, a community that was forever changed by a tsunami generated by the magnitude 9.2 earthquake in 1964. During Villegas' acceptance speech at AFN on October 17th, she pointed out that Afognak, or Agwenuk, means a place that has been split apart. She says that history is woven into the legacy of the Alutiiq Sukpiak people.
Our people and our community has been split apart over and over again, whether it be from earthquakes, major storms and tsunamis, man-made disasters like oil spills, government shutdowns, leadership crises, and even pandemics. But that is not our legacy. Our legacy is how we make our way back to each other, because we need each other.
Villegas received the Warrior of Light Award at this year's AFN convention, which is named for the late Tlingit elder, Dr. Walter Sobolev. Villegas' biography notes that she has encouraged unity and uplifted Alaska Native and American Indian people throughout her career, and especially through her previous work with the National Congress of American Indians. Villegas told AFN attendees that when she was working with policymakers in Washington, D.C., they would get uncomfortable when she'd use words like love, healing, and unity to describe Alaska Native people.
So I want to encourage you to be vocal about the love you have for our people in the policy and legislation you write, in the tribal offices and boardrooms you meet in, and in the discussions we have across our regions. Our unity and our love is transformative.
Those gathered in the Denaina Civic and Convention Center applauded Villegas multiple times during her acceptance speech. After her comments, staff members from Afognak Native Corporation and Koniag gave Villegas their own token of appreciation. Here's Shauna Hegna, president of Koniag.
Malia, in honor of your Walter Sobolev Warrior of Light Award and in honor of the light that you provide to all of us, Koniag is delighted to present you with your own Alutiiq oil lamp that was carved by Janelle Barton.
Villegas is currently the Senior Vice President of Community Investments at Afognak Native Corporation. She is also a board member with Data for Indigenous Justice, an Alaska-based nonprofit that advocates for murdered and missing Indigenous women, girls, and relatives. The 2025 Alaska Federation of Natives Convention featured awards, speeches from Alaska's congressional delegation, and panel discussions on a variety of topics from Thursday through Saturday. A Kodiak-based nonprofit dedicated to supporting families with newborns is expanding into the Northwest Arctic Borough. KMXT has more on how Kodiak Kindness is helping families across Alaska raise babies. For years, Noya Kwanda Baltazar has been teaching infants in Kotzebue through a local program that serves children with disabilities or delayed development. It's the only such program based out of a school district in the state. Baltazar says it's about helping kids from birth to 3 years old and their families around the Manilik service area, which covers 12 communities in northwest Alaska from Kotzebue to Kobuk.
Working with birth to three, it's always good about helping families ensuring that they're strong, supported, and any way we can support families and nursing moms to help their babies grow, I think is great.
Baltazar and Francis Williams from Ambler are bringing their experience working with children to Kodiak Kindness as they continue doing what they already do, but under the new title of peer counselors. Williams, who is known in her hometown as the Village Mother, says being part of the organization will give her more support and tools to do things she already does on a regular basis in the Northwest Arctic community.
Kodiak Kindness would be able to help because there's a lot of things that I learned when we went to the trainings, things that we didn't know. So all the training will be able to help. Like, I'll be able to do my own mix, you know, with Kodiak Kindness and my Inupiaq traditions.
Williams says she uses native plants like stinkweed or spruce trees to make salves or other traditional medicines to help her friends, family, and neighbors heal from the land. Aside from the traditional knowledge Williams has from her mom and aunties, she'll also be able to help her community with assistance from a certified lactation consultant if she wants support virtually from the Kodiak Kindness team via telehealth. Kodiak Kindness has served roughly 3,000 families since 2006, and many Alaskans with newborns still need support and someone who cares during what can be a challenging time in their lives. Baltazar says she herself had a hard time when she was trying to nurse her own child years ago.
So when I had my first child, I went to my aunt's house. She totally took me in. I was crying. My baby was crying. And she just said, okay, you're okay. I'm going to make you some tea. We're going to sit here and we're going to talk about this. And I'm going to help you. And very lovingly, she showed me how to nurse my baby. My emotions calmed down. It was a natural setting.
Baltazar says that Kodiak Kindness brings that kind of natural, loving feeling and setting with every home visit. Heather Priest founded Kodiak Kindness nearly 20 years ago with this idea in mind. She says it has long been a goal of hers to expand the organization beyond Kodiak.
It's the infant feeding is the topic that opens the door and lets us in. And then it really is about support and confidence and reassurance and the sense of community, regardless of how babies are fed, regardless of where anyone is from. We're all parents wanting the best for our children.
But as Priest says, Kodiak Kindness is about more than just breastfeeding or formula feeding or even infant development.
Yes, we talk about all of those things, but what people come away from, what the family feels and what they voice or express is the main thing about kindness. Is that we were there for them.
Kodiak Kindness's two new peer counselors in the Northwest Arctic Borough come online this winter and hope to start enrolling families in the region early next year. For anyone seeking services or help from the nonprofit, you can call 907-539-2660 or go online to kodiakkindness.org. Reporting in Kodiak, I'm Davis Havi. Earlier this month, Kodiak State legislators gave the Kodiak Island Borough Assembly a reality check on the state's financial status. As KMXT reports, the bottom line is that once again, there is not enough state money to help fund local capital projects. During a Borough Assembly work session earlier this month, State Senator Gary Stevens told Assembly members that dozens of community and school infrastructure projects across Alaska are all waiting for state funding.
And we know how desperate things are all over the state in terms of the amount of projects that need funding. Just the list is so enormous that we can't solve it all at once. But we can deal with a few of the most egregious situations, and we will do that.
Kodiak needs millions of dollars to overhaul its main boat harbor, replace the roof at Main Elementary School, and likely repair the local hospital building, too. The Alaska legislature passed a capital budget in May that was only a fraction of what it was 2 years ago, and it included no money for capital projects in any individual legislator's districts. Stevens, a Republican who has been the state Senate president for 8 years, made no specific commitments to Assembly members for state funding for any of Kodiak's capital projects in the upcoming legislative session. Despite the state's financial woes, there have not been any new taxes introduced to put more money into dwindling state coffers this year. Alaska still has no state income tax, no state sales tax, and no state property tax. Stevens says many Alaskans he talks to are opposed to new taxes.
As someone who's leaving the legislature, I know we won't do anything this year on sales tax or income tax, but I think we've got to address an income tax, not to keep a permanent fund dividend, but in order to pay for the needs of our government.
Stevens is entering his 26th year in the state legislature, which will also be his last. He told KMXT earlier this year that he will retire at the end of the upcoming legislative session. Governor Mike Dunleavy is also in the last year of his term. The governor is required to release his final proposed budget in mid-December. Republican Louise Stutes, Kodiak's representative in the state house, told the borough assembly that so far, Dunleavy has been against a state income tax.
You know, we can try it again, but right now, you have to keep in mind that this governor has said unequivocally, with no exception, he will veto any new tax.
Dunleavy has said before he'd only be open to new taxes as part of a larger fiscal plan that would also restrain state spending. Meanwhile, lawmakers warn this spring of even leaner times ahead as oil prices and federal spending falter. In response, legislators have already begun exploring potential revenue-generating options like reducing the oil production tax credit. Stute says she is in favor of getting more money out of the oil companies that do business in Alaska by changing the oil tax credits.
Well, we could address the oil without increasing the tax by decreasing the credits that the state gives them. And let's make it a little more transparent. You want a state oil tax credit? Apply for it. Let the legislature appropriate those funds for the credit.
Top members of the Democrat-heavy coalition controlling the state Senate proposed similar oil tax credit changes in one of two revenue bills it sponsored during the last legislative session. The state revenue department says those changes could raise hundreds of millions of dollars per year. The oil and gas production tax bill was referred to the Senate Resources Committee and will be carried over into the upcoming legislative session. It's unclear whether it has enough support to pass the full legislature. The next legislative session is set to begin on January 20th at the state capitol in Juneau. Reporting in Kodiak, I'm Davis Hovey. Kodiak School District Superintendent announced on October 17th that she will resign at the end of this school year, citing family reasons. KMXT's Brian Venois reports.
Kodiak Island Borough School District Superintendent Cindy Micka will step down at the end of June. Micka's in her fourth year on the job. She moved to Kodiak from Texas, where she was an assistant superintendent. She presided over several challenges during her time in Kodiak, including budget shortfalls that led to the closure of North Star Elementary earlier this year. However, she says her resignation is strictly personal.
Nothing with the job had anything to do with my decision. I would stay here 5-10 more years.
Micka cited personal family reasons for her decision in a letter to the Kodiak community and says her son has already moved back to Texas and is living with family. She says she doesn't feel ready to retire, but will move back next year despite not having any jobs lined up yet either. Micka says she'll continue working with students, teachers, and administrators to help the board face yet another year of expected budget cuts.
I don't feel like my work here is done. I don't think any superintendent ever feels like their work is done, but I really don't feel like my work is done. I feel like we're just, you know, that we're hitting our stride and we're making great improvements.
She says the district will likely face another deficit of about $8 million, but is still waiting on final numbers like its student count to figure out its budget for the next year. Micka says most of her team was brand new in their positions when she first arrived, and they should be able to set up the next superintendent for success. She says she's grateful to the community.
I love living here. I love this community, and it will always have a deep place in my heart, mine and my son's.
The local Board of Education hasn't announced plans to find a successor yet, but is slated to figure out next steps at a special meeting in early November. In Kodiak, I'm Brian Benoit.
Kodiak's local hospital once again has no full-time administrator. Providence Kodiak Island Medical Center's interim administrator, Lori Riddle, left the position on Friday, October 17th, after only 5 months. A Providence spokesperson says in an email that the search for Riddle's replacement is already underway and that there will be an update after someone is appointed to the head job. Riddle did not publicly give a reason for leaving and could not be reached for comment. The Providence spokesperson said it was a personal decision. Riddle was the former chief nurse executive for a few years, then the executive director of operations when she took over as interim administrator in May. The former hospital head, Carl Hertz, left at that time to become the chief operating officer at Central Peninsula Hospital in Soldotna. For now, a local leadership team will handle daily operations at the Providence Kodiak Island Medical Center. And our final story for this week, the city of Kodiak and its brand new city manager, Randy Robertson, are parting ways at the end of this month. That's after the city council approved a separation agreement with Robertson on Thursday night. KMXT reports. Robertson's official start date was September 8th, according to his employment agreement. Here he is during a Ports and Harbor Advisory Board meeting he attended last month.
First, I'm Randy Robertson. I've not met any of you other than that gentleman, that gentleman. So I've been here 8 days, 9 days, but who's counting? And I work for you.
But not for much longer. Robertson's last day as city manager will be October 31st, after just 7 weeks on the job, leading the city government's 135 employees and roughly $50 million budget. The employment contract the city council approved in July set the expectation that Robertson would stay on until the year 2030, barring some extraordinary circumstances. During Thursday's city council meeting, the council went into executive session for about an hour ahead of unanimously approving the separation agreement. Robertson said in his final city manager's report that he will put together some kind of succession planning documents for his successor.
Sometimes you win, sometimes you don't, as much as you'd like. I'll leave it at that and say I think we've got a good way forward with possibilities for the future in terms of this position.
The separation agreement says he is resigning in good standing. The city will pay Robertson the equivalent of 90 days' salary, which is about $45,000, plus $12,500 for his relocation costs. He moved from Maryland. In exchange, the agreement says Robertson gives up various rights to sue the city. This is at least Robertson's fourth short-term local government position around the country since 2021. He said in his application for the Kodiak job that those prior positions were all short stints because he was assisting with his mother's medical care. Prior to that, he was the city manager in Cordova for several years. Outgoing Mayor Pat Branson said that the separation agreement was mutual and that the council wished Robertson and his wife the best going forward. It is unclear when the city manager job will be posted and when the city will begin the hiring process to fill his role. Last time the city was hiring a new manager, it signed a roughly $35,000 agreement with a Florida-based hiring firm to recruit and vet candidates from around the country. The firm identified Robertson as one of the top candidates out of the 41 applicants. And for transparency, Terry Haynes, the incoming mayor of the city of Kodiak, is also a staff member at KMXT. He does not have any editorial influence over news stories, and he did not review the story before it was aired. Reporting in Kodiak, I'm Davis Hovey.
KMXT is supported in part by the Kodiak Women's Resource and Crisis Center, providing support for victims of domestic and/or sexual violence. 907-486-6171.
If you enjoy this podcast, make sure to subscribe to us on Spotify. Our staff put together KMXT stories every week to help you keep up to date on the archipelago's latest news. And that's it for this week's edition of the KMXT Weekly Wrap. Again, I'm Davis Hovey. We'll be back next week, same time, same place. Thanks for tuning in.